We're turning again in God's Word to 1 John and chapter 3. And I want to think particularly about the first three verses of this wonderful chapter. Well, did the hymn writer take the words of verse 1 and paraphrase them and add other verses to them? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what love, what boundless love the Father hath bestowed on sinners lost, that we should be now called the sons of God. And if there's ever anything that should encourage us and lift us up and thrill our heart and thrill our soul, it is the fact that you and I, who were lost and were dead in trespasses and in sins, have been quickened by the Spirit of God. We've been born again into the family of God. Our sins have been dealt with under the precious blood of Christ, and we are now the children of God. And as you would read through this lovely epistle, the first epistle of John, we're reminded that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. We're reminded also in this epistle that God is life. Thank God there's nothing, no deadness about it. God is life. God gives us life. He gives us eternal life. And he gives us, thank God, abundant life. And of course, God is love. That's what the scripture says. God is love. That's one of his attributes. God is love. And as we were reading those verses this morning, I was just thinking about them, how wonderful they are. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Surely when you read those words from verse 1, there's a description here that delights the children of God. That God, who is light and life and love, that God hath bestowed his love upon us. And when we think about that, we think about the wonder of God's love for sinful men and women like you and like me. That God's love in that way is unique. And thank God for that love of God in Christ. That God set his love upon us, and even from eternity, because the Bible says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the very foundation of the world. And thank God he loved us, and he has chosen us in Christ, and he has set the seal of that love upon us. And we can say today, thank God, as the Bible says there in Romans, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, and them he did predestinate, he called, and them he called, he justified, and those he has justified, one day he will glorify us. And so we bask today in the sunshine of God's love, and we say with the hymn writer, oh, the wonder of it all, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loved me. Because it's a unique love, and it's an undeserved love. If God were to give us what we rightly deserve, we would be lost in a Christless eternity. We hear from all sorts of groups and peoples in this world of ours, and they cry, we demand our rights, and we want our rights. But if they only realize that by nature, by birth, we are sinners, by practice, we are sinners, in our lifestyle, we are sinners, and if God was to give us our rights and what we rightfully deserve, we would be cut off and cast out into a lost eternity. But even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. Even when we were ungodly, Christ loved us. Even when we were without strength, when we were fallen, wretched specimens of humanity, Thank God we didn't deserve it, but the undeserving love from God has come to us. And thank God we can say that love was unselfish. That love was so selfless and so unselfish that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave the very best of heaven, sent his Son, didn't send an angel or an archangel, but God gave his only begotten Son to come into the world and to save sinners. And we can say, thank God he predestinated us, but thank God he has purchased us. Paul could write, and he could say to the church at Galatia, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And my, it's a wonderful thing today in God's house, from the heart of every child of God, we can say, amen, Paul, I am right with you there. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, loved me. He loved me so much that he stepped out of the ivory palaces and he came into this sinful world and he was born at Bethlehem and he lived for me and he died for me, and thank God he rose again on the third day for me, and he saved me and he purchased me. And we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thank God that love that is unique and is undeserved and is unselfish, it's unending. He loves us with an everlasting love. And thank God today for the love of God. You know, there's a lovely hymn, the hymn, The Love of God. It was said to have been written in a cell in a mental hospital. But there are great words. And the person who wrote that hymn was certainly of sound mind. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches to the highest star and it reaches to the lowest hell. Thank God for the love of God and Christ. And here's a description that delights us, that we are the recipients of such love. And we think about the wonder of that love, and we think about the wealth of that love. You know, oftentimes we come to the house of God and we come for a wedding. And of course, in the Bible teaches us that Christ is the heavenly bridegroom. And the church, the born-again believers, those who are in Christ, they are his chosen bride. And you know, when the bride comes, and as the hymn writer puts it, she looks into the face and the eyes of her beloved, well, they are united in marriage, and she takes his name. Well, as the children of God, as the bride of Christ, thank God we got a new name. We were once just the sons of Adam. We were once the children of wrath, even as others. The Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion rebuked men and said, you're of your father the devil, and his works you will do. But thank God, the moment we were saved, and the moment we were born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, we got a new name. We were changed from the sons of Adam, thank God, to the sons of God. And we are now the children of God. Used to be a man run meetings in a little mission hall in Belfast, and he loved to sing, and he really would sing out with all his heart. But one of his favorite hymns was that lovely hymn, Children of God, O glorious calling. Surely his grace will keep us from falling, passing from death to life at his call. Christ hath redeemed us once and for all. And we have a changed name. We're the sons of God. You know, there's a change even in our language. We can now call God our Father. We cry, Abba, Father. I remember in one of the trips to the land of Israel, going one day down into the center of Jerusalem, and we were on a bus or a tram, and the thing was absolutely packed to capacity. And there was a man there, and he had a couple of children. And I've often heard people say, you know, the Bible commentators, they use the word Abba. It's like daddy, it's like father. And I remember as this bus, I think it was rattling about a bit, this wee boy thought he was going to fall, and he grabbed onto his father's hand. He cried, Abba, Abba! And he held onto his father's hand. Thank God, we who were once the children of wrath and under the condemnation and doomed and lost have been brought into Christ, and we're the sons of God, and we can cry of a truth, our Father, which art in heaven. Nicholson used to say, the trouble is there are people praying our Father on Sunday, and then they're living like orphans the rest of the week. But God is our heavenly Father, and we cry, Abba, Father. And we thank God there's a change even in our hope, in our expectation. Because once we had nothing but a fearful looking for of judgment, and now we have glory and life eternal. We'll speak about that in a moment or two. And of course, thank God for the witness of this love that we are identified today with Christ. So when we read those verses, those words, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. There's a description, thank God, that ought to delight us. But you notice also there's a doctrine here that consecrates us. It says in verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Some people would try to tell us that if a man or woman is saved, then because they are saved, they can live just whatever way they please and just do whatever they want. But that is certainly not the case. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us if a man or woman is born again, and we have read so many verses there, the Bible talks about committing sin, and he that committeth sin is of the devil, and it speaks about those who are practicing sin again and again and again and again. The Bible says he or she that hath this hope, who are saved, who are the sons of God, who are the children of God, if we have this hope within ourselves, this hope purifies us. Look at those verses over there in the second epistle of Peter. In second epistle of Peter and chapter 3, and the Bible is speaking here in John that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will appear, and when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, that's real global warming. That's climate change, all right, on the right scale. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. And then Peter says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So both John and Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, are telling us if a man or woman is saved, and if they are the children of God, and if they have this wonderful hope within their breast that one day Christ is coming back again in power and glory, what manner of man and woman ought we to be? Then we ought to be the men and women who are living for the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts. We have a hope that's steadfast and sure. And that hope leads us to holiness and to holiness of life. The Bible reminds us there that if we are called the sons of God, immediately it says, therefore, verse 1, the world knoweth us not, or the world doesn't recognize us. The world slights us. The world scoffs at us. The world makes fun of us. That's why the Apostle John tells us in this epistle, love not the world. They're the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is of the flesh and of the devil. And when a man or woman really gets saved, I have often heard people testify and say, and I heard a dear brother last Sunday night giving his testimony, and he was involved in paramilitaryism, and he was involved in all sorts of things. But he says, when I got saved, he says, I didn't have to leave the friends and the old mates that I ran about. He says, they were very quick to leave me, because now he was a new creature. He was in Christ. He was saved. His ideas, his places he would like to go, were completely different. He no longer wanted to go down to the pubs and to the bookies and all these things. He wanted to get to the house of God. He wanted to learn more about the Word of God. He wanted to get to the place of prayer to commune with his Heavenly Father, because now he's a child of God. And if we have this hope, it leads us to holy living and to living for Christ day by day, because we have a hope in him. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in chapter 2 and verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. Oh, that's why we want to live a holy life. We don't want to be ashamed before him. When we stand before him, or when he comes in power and glory. I remember hearing about some teenagers, and they decided they would like to go to a very questionable, ungodly place. And one young fella says, no, I'm not going to go with you. And they said, you're afraid of your father. You're just afraid your father will find out, and that's why you'll not go. And he says, well, I am afraid, but not in the way you think. I'm not afraid of my father as if he is some sort of tyrant, or who would judge me harshly or treat me badly. But he says, I respect my father. I respect his testimony in the community and in the church, and I do not want to grieve my father by going to such and such a place. And that's the way it is with the people of God. We want to be unashamed before him at his coming. We don't want to grieve the Savior. Don't want to grieve our Father. We want to walk before him. And the Bible says, if we have this hope, we have to purify ourselves even as he is pure. That's the example. You know, there's many, many people today, and they say, well, you know, I'm every bit as good as so-and-so. And that may be true. And sometimes people say, well, you know, you invite me to come to a gospel meetings, but if so-and-so is a Christian, I'm every bit as good a person as he is or she is. I'm a good citizen, I'm a good husband, I'm a good wife, I'm a good neighbor, I'm a good friend, I'm a good colleague, all these things. But listen, purify ourselves. Verse 3 says, even as he is pure. God says, don't you put your life beside some Christian. God says, you place your life alongside the perfect, sinless, spotless, faultless life of my Son. And when you do that, you will realize, as the Scripture says, how far short of the glory of God you've fallen and you come. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's a description that delights us as a people of God. And there's a doctrine that consecrates us as a people of God that we want to live. But just finally, in closing, you'll notice there's a destination that awaits us as the people of God. Verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The destiny of the people of God, those who are in Christ, those who are identified with Christ, those who are his, who belong to him, the Bible says, well, there's something there, and it's unknown glory. It's a fullness of glory that we cannot really comprehend, because the Bible says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And isn't that what the apostle writes when he says, our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. There is glory that we cannot comprehend. And the apostle Peter, he writes, he says, there's an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It is undefiled. It fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you. For who? For you who are kept by the power of God through faith. There's that unknown aspect of it. And then there's a known aspect of it. It says, for when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, or we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians on that great chapter about the resurrection, talking about the resurrection body. My Paul says, this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible being will put on incorruption. And we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Well, the apostle writes in another place, and he talks about this body, and he says, this body is a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent. But he says, if this tabernacle be dissolved, this weak, frail body that we have, if it be dissolved, what does he say? We have a building more sure, eternal in the heavens. What a difference there is between a tent and a great building, even like this church in which we're met today. Paul says, your body, my body, here on earth, flesh and blood, well, it's just like a tent. And one day, the tent pegs will be pulled out, and the tent will be taken down, will be dissolved. But Paul says the people of God on that day, the sons of God, those who have believed on his name, we have a building more sure, eternal in the heavens, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more separation, no more death. But we shall see him as he is. Where Jesus is, thank God, 'tis heaven there. Dear friend, if you're not a Christian and you're not a child of God, remember this same writer, the Apostle John, he says in his gospel, as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's not talking about getting religious. He's not talking about joining a church. He's not talking about a ceremony or a ritual that a church or a priest or a preacher or a pastor can perform. But he says, which were born not of blood, it's not of your race, it's not of the will of the flesh, it's not of the will of man. But he says, as many as receive him, the Lord Jesus, receive and believe, one and the same. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him? For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I'm your servant for Jesus' sake, and if you're concerned about these things, do speak to us. We're only too glad to show you from God's word, God's way of salvation. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. We bring our meeting to a close. Father in heaven, we thank thee again today for all thy goodness to us, for the simplicity of the message of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the love of God in Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that you loved us, that you've chosen us in him, that we are thine. Help us, Lord, to have this hope. Help us to purify ourselves, to consecrate ourselves, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be with us now as we separate the one from the other. Take us all to our homes in safety. Abide with us throughout this day. And remember us again tonight in the gospel meeting. Lord, draw near, we pray. Bring men and women, boys and girls to thyself. And we'll be careful to ascribe to thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. For Jesus' sake. Amen.